Today's daf in Masechet Sotah brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is daf Chof Hei, and we are holding on the third line, Ibo Elohu. All right, so the Gemara wants to know, Veret al dat, tzricha hatra'ah, lav sidak tuvatau ina tzricha. Now, besides this special issue over here of kinoy and stira, we have a related problem. And that is, as you recall, when we talked about ksuvas, we have the idea of an overet al dat yehudit. And that means this is a woman who is not careful with the dinim that Benos Yisrael generally are makbid on, not to go out with her uncovered hair, not to expose her arms. This woman is tova b'shuk, and she goes around talking to people freely as if it's like an open society, and men and women are the same, and she doesn't have to cover her hair. So the din is there that she loses her ketubah. And that is similar, what we were talking about in the Mishnah, to the case over here of the Sotah, who loses the ketubah. So the question is, this idea that the Sotah loses the ketubah, of course, is linked to the Kinoy Vistira. Well, how about an Overet Al-Dat? Does she require at least a warning? Don't act like that, because if you do, you will lose your ketubah. Or is that an ipso facto built-in relationship of the ketubah of the ketubah? The very fact that she acts this way, and it is an overt al dat, it's not her behavior. It's the fact that she knows that this is against the way that women behave. So then she doesn't require hatra'ah. That's how I understand the meaning of the Gemara of kivan de overt al dat. In other words, the basis of the idea is that it's generally accepted and has been the minhag for all these doreis. And therefore, why would she need hatra'ah? Hatra'ah is usually to let someone know. I mean, she knows darn well. So why would she need hatra'ah? Or do we say, no, the idea of hatra'ah is to give her an opportunity to change her ways. So, I mean, you should tell her, and you give her the hatra'ah, tiboy hatra'ah, because that way, ihadraba tihadraba. The idea over here is to provide an opening for a shalom bayis that will be restored. That's the question. Well, L'chora, we know the answer to that, says the Gemara, because the Mishnah said, Arusa uvishomeret yavam lo shotot v'lo notlot ketubah. And what does that mean? That you cannot give her the ma'isota to drink, mishti de lo shatya, but you can still be mekaneh, right? Okay, what's the point of being mekaneh? I mean, it isn't in order for her to be able to drink the mayim ha'ma'orim, so what is the point? Lav lav sidak ketuvata. The point is that if you didn't warn her, she will not be mafsid de ketuvah. That's the point. Now, certainly, if she is in the habit of being alone with this guy, I mean, that is a pritzut, that is keneged dat yehudit, isn't it? And you see from here, she wouldn't have lost her ketuvah if it wouldn't be for the fact that you gave her the kinoy, which is essentially hatra'ah. So it seems very clear you need this hatra'ah in order for her to lose the ketuvah. Amar Abayin, not necessarily. Maybe the reason that you're being mekaneh, maybe she would lose her ketuvah anyway because of her behavior. But what we're talking about over here is giving her kinui in order to create the isser on him. Otherwise, she wouldn't be asura. And this way, the Torah said she has a din, which we learn out of the remez in the posik of the Magzir Grushato, that he's not allowed to sleep with her. Fine. Maybe that's the point. By the way, I want to tell you, there's a fascinating question over here that many of the Achronim ask, and that is, who says that in the case of Nistera, that she is an Overet Al-Dat? An Overet Al-Dat would only be, let's say, in a case where she's obviously doing something like being over on Yichud, right? But as we've spoken about many times, the din of Kinoy is not dependent on her being over on Yichud. I mean, we just had. He can be Mekaner from anyone. He can tell her not to be alone with her own son. He can tell her not to be alone with her own father. There's no Isser Yichud over there. Or what about in the case where, technically speaking, there is a Nistera with him, but it's not Yichud because a door was open and people could walk in if they wanted to, whatever. You know, the many cases where we say that's not considered to be Yichud, but it would be considered to be Stira. Okay, there's plenty of cases like that. So if that's the case, why do you take for granted? Maybe the point is that we're talking about those cases, and a lot of interesting discussion, as you can see, about this particular question, because it opens up the underlying relationship that the Gemara seems to be taking for granted between an Overet Al-Dat and the normal dinim of Kinoy V'Stira. Omer Abaye, so anyway, Abaye says that the relationship to the Kinoi may simply be not because of the Inyone HaKetuvah, but rather for the Inyan of Isser, that he would not be allowed to be with her anymore as man and wife. Rav Papa Omar, maybe the point is La'ashkota kashi nesu'ah. The idea over here is that you can give the Kinoi now, even though you cannot be Mashka, but then when you get married, after the state of Erisin, and then she's nisteret with someone, maybe 10 years later, that original kinoi is going to work in order to be mashkar. I understand what your raya is, b'chlal. Kiritanya, ein mekanin la'arusa la'ashkota kishi arusa. It's true that you will not be able to be mashkar her while she is an arusa based on a kinoi to an arusa. Avo mekanin la'arusa la'ashkota kishi inesu'a. If you gave her the kinoi as an arusa and it is now after your marriage, that kinoi would still remain in effect, and therefore would allow you to be mashkar. So we don't have any raya. Omar Rava, I'll bring you an raya. From the other case of the Mishnah, the Mishnah goes on to discuss cases of Amon l'Kohen Gadol, Grusha v'Chalutz v'Kohen Hedyet, Mamzer v'Netilah Yisrael, Bat Yisrael Mamzer v'Netin, Lo Shotot v'Lo Notlot Ketuvah, because all of those cases, she is Asura anyway to her husband. By the way, why is a netina asura to her husband? Remember, big machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Every time that we've talked about netina, we've mentioned this problem. According to Rashi, David HaMelech was gozer on the netinim, and therefore it's really an iser drabbanan. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, the netinim, being as they are givonim, retained the iser of the shiva amamim, even though they were midgayer. And the only thing that David HaMelech did in terms of the Gezerah was to make sure that they would always be in a serving capacity, so it would always be avadim. But that didn't change the fact that they had been Megayer. Okay, so this is still the same machlokas that we've had all over. Now, says Rava, in all of these cases, you cannot say that the reason that we're going to give them kinoi is because that way they will be usher. Anyway, they're usher. And Amon HaKohen Gadol is an isser. So what's the difference whether he was Mekaner her or not if he cannot be Mashker, right? But you see from here, Mishtu de lo shatya, a kinoi Mekanela, for what purposes are you being Mekaner her? What? To usher her? Lo usher and love. The way that Abaya said, they're usher anyway. You usher in Mekayamin. The only explanation is the purpose of my kinoi is that without the kinoi, she will not lose her ktuva. There's your answer. You wanted to know whether a woman needs hatra'ah before losing her ktuva. The answer is yes, because otherwise this whole piece of the Mishnah listing a set of cases where the woman was asura to her husband, where nonetheless you could be mekana, doesn't make any sense. Reviewed to be discarded. Of course it makes sense. Maybe it's not to aser on him because they're already aser. It's not to lose the ketuvah because maybe anyway she loses her ketuvah. Maybe the point is lo osra leboel kebal. It's none. Kishem shasura lebal, kach asura leboel. Remember, there's another very important fallout from for a sota. Namely, that once she was over on a stira after a kinoi, the person that she was alone with is not allowed to marry her. So let's say that this current husband divorces her, or this current husband dies. Normally she would be allowed to marry this guy, but since this is one of the cases where she was asur labaal, she automatically becomes asur laboel because of the kinoi vestira. And that would still be a very important reason to be mekana her. Rabbi Chanina Misura, I have the perfect raya. And that's from the last part of the Mishnah. The Elo Shebeit Din Mekane Lahem. Bez Din gives a kinoi. What were the cases? Well, the husband becomes a cheresh, or the husband goes insane, or the husband was in jail, was unable to be aware and to respond to what it was that his wife was doing and how she was carrying on. V'lo la'ashkota omru. And it says, beferish, man, that the reason that the Bez Din is Mekaner is not because Bez Din is able to take her to give her the mayim. It's leposlamik tuvata. Ha! Beferish. What do you see from that? That you need Bez Din to warn her. You couldn't be clearer than that. What's with you guys looking around to bring rayas from first part of the mission, second part of the mission? It's ridiculous. It says beferish. Without the Bez Din's warning, she would not lose her ksuva. Shmamina boyatra shmamina. So wait a second. What, everybody else was nuts? V'kulu my time alarm and mehar. Why did nobody else just go straight to the core of the issue at the end of the Mishnah? Why did they play around with these other cases? Because this is a brilliant, a very important answer. Dilma shiny hatam. The letla imta de baal klal. The question is like this. The measurement of her behavior. Remember this, how we learned the idea of overet al dat from the beginning. The measurement of her behavior is departure from norms. Now, the question over here is that she had to be aware of that departure from norms in order for this to be considered to be a pritsuta to the extent that she would lose her ketuvah. Since in this case, the husband has faded from her awareness. He's been in jail for the past 20 years, or he's been insane. She doesn't pay any attention to the husband. So whatever the issue is, she lacks an awareness of aim to the ball, in which case what she's doing is, to her, a technicality. So technically speaking, I'm not supposed to be walking around with my hair uncovered. No, that's not the same thing as exposing the hair of a woman who's got a husband who's makbid on that, right? So therefore, it's not the same level of pritsut. There are two elements of pritsut, as Rashi explains. One is the pritsut in terms of the violation of how she is supposed to be behaving. And the other is the amount of commitment and involvement that she has, which is called pritsuta yiteirata. It's only a pritsuta yiteirata which is going to get her to lose the ketubah. And therefore, the only thing that turns this back into a pritsuta yiterata may be the fact that the bezdin was mekaneh, but you can't bring a raya from here that a normal marriage would not, in fact, cause the loss of a ketubah, even if there were no hatra'ah. In point of fact, however, we do paskin that there is a need for hatra'ah. So that would be the reason that we didn't bring a raya from here. And you can see how this is nogea also, questions where social norms change and things like that, what is considered to be, under those circumstances, pritsuta yeterata. Iboilu. Overet al dat v'ratza ba'al lekaima. Mekaima o ina mekaima. So this question, if the woman is acting with pritsut, can the husband say, I don't care, I like her? Mi amrina b'kpeda ba'al talam nirachmana, v'halo kapit, o dioma kimin de kapit, kapit. Do we say that the same, look, we had the same idea about kinoi, right? And as the Torah said, that it's up to the husband on the level of behavior that he expects from his wife, that she's hanging around with this guy. Maybe that's true about the general idea over here about her noveret al dat. If the husband says, I don't mind, or even if I do mind, I understand she's got her problems with covering her hair, you know, so it doesn't bother me. Okay. So maybe that would be okay. On the other hand, we could look at it as a violation of the sanctity of marriage and so on, and therefore she should not remain married to him, even though he's not makbid. Well, tashma. The Mishnah says, Elish betin mikanin la'am mishnit charesh ba'alo nishtata o'sher chavush bebet asurin. Bezdin goes ahead and gives a kinoi in cases where the Baal is incapacitated. Why would we do that? If the case would be that he amit ratza ba'ala kaima mekaima, that he could say, I don't mind, how could Bezdin act on his so-called behalf where it may not be on his behalf? I mean, we don't know that he would say, I want her out. Maybe he would say, mind your own business, Bezdin. As far as I'm concerned, she's fine to me as a wife. So how could Bezdin go and do something? What gave Bezdin that kayach to be able to do that if it's dependent in the Baal? Remember that the Bezdin can only act as a shliach for the Baal in this thing to be mekaneher, so this makes no sense. How could they do something that he might not want? So Kivan answers the Gemara, well, it's true that that looks like a raya, but actually what we could say is that stom de milta kivin dover tal dati ninach nechale. Maybe we say that the Bezdin has a right to take certain general behaviors for granted. People generally are makbid. Ibailu. Okay, so then I have another question. How about a Baal that was machal on the kinoi that he gave? So is that machul or ain't machul? Mi amrinu bekinu de bal tola rachmana bal hamachil, eh? Lekinuyeh? So do we see the kinui as an ongoing hakpada of the Baal and not a magic case in which he's created a new state of affairs? Note how similar this would be to the idea of state of affairs that we spoke about in terms of Naziras, in terms of Nidorim, in terms of the whole concept of Zeh HaDavar and the way in which things change. We talked about that in terms of Pidyon, in terms of Chalipin, Tumura, and so on, right? This would be another such example. It could be that the Torah is saying, well, once the Baal has given a kinui, there is now a new state defining a higher level of demands in this marriage. It's no longer up to the Baal. So there's two ways of saying this. The kinui may be simply an expression of his hakpada. So if he says, I've changed my mind, I'm no longer makbid, so he can be mechel on that kinui. Or do we say, well, it's a state. And kiven de kani la mikar lo matimati machele. Amazing. And this is like the ongoing, we talked about Nazir, Nadorim, and Sotas being a tripartite mesechet. I mean, this is a very, very powerful interconnection of the levels of these mesechetot. Because if we view kinui as being not simply a description of the reaction of the Torah to his hakpada, but rather a whole brand new set of demands and levels of standards for behavior, so then he can't even be mochel in himself. Exactly the same lashon, who eino mochel, right? Same lashon of lo yachel divoro that we have by Nedarim or by Naziras. Quite incredible. So do we have a raya? Yes, says the Gemara, we have a raya. Tashma, ve'elo shebeitin mekanin lahen. Now, I ask you to think about for a moment, what would be the implications of a Bezdin doing kinui if a husband can always be mochel the kinui? We're saying that the Bezdin is acting on behalf of the husband, right? Okay, so they do the kinui. Husband walks in and says to his girl, pay no attention to the rabbis. I don't mind how it is that you act. It's fine with me. You could be alone with this guy. I mean, what a ziluta de bedina that is. It's totally embarrassing, right? Here, Bezdin is sitting over there riding with their champion steed in order to provide this guy with the protection that kinui affords, and he laughs them out of the house. I mean, so we always are makbid on ziluta de bedina, so then Bezdin should not be able to go ahead and give a kinui if it's up to the husband to just throw out that kinui. Isn't that true? Yeah, but still, says the Gemara, it may be that since we have a right to assume that a guy's not going to do that, and once the Bezdin put down their feet, he's not going to go and laugh them off, so therefore we're not chayshesh for the Ziluta Beitina, but maybe Enochinami, if he would be merchel on the kinui, then Enochinami would be mochul. Okay, I got a raya, tashma. Remember the whole business about needing to have two Talmidei Chachamim? We need to make sure he doesn't sleep with her along the way. What do you mean? Why shouldn't he sleep with her along the way? If he's changed his mind about her, so he can always say, you know what? I don't care about the kinui. Let's get back to being man and wife, you know? So what's the big deal? He can always be meichel on his kinui, and then there's no problem in his sleeping with her. Well, what do you think we give him two Talmidei Chachamim for, says the Gemara? That's the whole point. Maishna Talmidei Chachamim de Gemiri. Then we need bedavka Talmidei Chachamim with him who know the halacha. So they tell him, listen, if you're so hard up, go ahead and be meichel your kinui, and then go sleep with her to your heart's content. But don't sleep with her without being meichel the kinui. That's all. That's exactly the point. And that's what they're going to say to him. And that's why we need them to be able to explain to him the difference between a mechila on kinui and bo'ale abaderech. Exactly. So that doesn't prove anything. Says the Gemara. Okay. Got another raya. Toshma. The Om Reb Yoshia. Shlosha devarim. Sakhli Zira Mianche Yerushalayim. Three very important chidushim about Mechila. I was taught by Zira from Yerushalayim. Number one, Baal Shemachala Kinuyo, Kinuyo Machul. Number two, a Zorken Mamre on the Bezdin Agoro in the Lishkas Hagozis, who is Chayev Misa, the Bezdin could say we're Meichel you, and then we don't kill the Zorken Mamre. Massive Chiddush. And the third thing that he told me was that a Ben Soreru More, where the father and the mother say, okay, never mind, we're Mochel, and we don't kill the Ben Soreru More. And that Rotso Avivi Molim Cholo, Mochalim Lo. So here we see clearly that that's what Zira said, and not only that, but Kishabatu, we'll get to Calvin in a sec here, but not only that, when I came, oh, Calvin has left his hand. When I came to my friends in Yerush, in the Daron, they were moda to two out of the three. So they said, yes, we agree about the Betzoramora, and we agree about a husband and his kinoi. We do not agree about the case of the Bezdin Godol. Because if you allow the Bezdin to be Mochel, you basically are messing up the whole point of the Torah's Akpada on a Zakein Mamre, which is we don't want a Riboy Machlokas in Yisrael to have everybody who is Magielo Ra'ah, albeit that's not a lot of people, but the fact is, if people get the idea that it's possible to be Chaylik or the Bezdin HaGadol of Yerushalayim, we no longer have an authority. And then we're going to have multiple terrorists in Yisrael. So it's all very nice that you don't want to see this guy killed, but it's not up to you. So they said, Al-Zakin Mamre, Lohodulo, Lohoduli, Shelo Yirbu Machloket Yisrael. Anyway, from here to what do we see? Bottom line. Shmamina, Baal, Shemachal, Kinuyo, Kinuyo, Machul, Shmamina. This positively seems to be true. There's a big problem, though, because what does this mean? At what stage can this be Moichel? Pligi Baravacha Ravina. Chanomar, yes, he could be Moichel before she's alone with the guy. But once she was alone with the guy, now she was already over on this, he cannot be Moichel retroactively. Whereas one says, even Leachastira Nami Moichel. But it seems clear, Mistavaka Mandiomar Eno Moichel, that actually you cannot be Moichel retroactively. I'll bring you a Raya. Because remember, Rabbi Yossi said, Ben Adarabban Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi said, look, you don't need people to go along with them to Yerushalayim. If we believe a male to be alone with his wife who's a Nida, why would we not believe this male to be alone with his wife who is Asura only Midrabbanan? Only Minalav, not as a chorus. So, obviously, we trust men to be alone with women that are asura on them. That's what it was that Rabbi Yossi Tainitz, the Rabbanan, said back to him, that actually, it's not the same. Because Anida, he knows that all he has to do is wait until she becomes Torah. Masha Enkein, the psychological power of, this is the last time I'm ever going to have a chance to sleep with this woman, is very powerful. Extremely powerful. And therefore, it may well overcome his restraint and he would end up sleeping with her. Now, if you tell me that he always has the option of being mochel the kinui, even retroactively, even after she was alone with the guy, so then it's not true. The entire pressure, the psychological pressure, is relieved by the fact that he has pat besalo, in the sense that if I would want to be Meichel, I could just go ahead and be Meichel. So it's clear from here that you cannot be Meichel. Because she could be together with him better because he could always be Meichel and then he could have her whenever he wants. Elishmamina. That seems to be for sure. Once she was over on the kinoi with a stira, then the din d'oraisa kicks in that she is included in the remez that adds her as a sota to the machzir grushato. And over there, there's no way for him to undo that. Now let's move on to the machlokas that we had at the end of the Mishnah about what the din is if the husband dies. They were about to drink, the husband dies, what happens with the ketubah in those circumstances? Because it's not her fault that she cannot drink. So she was about to drink, she was going to be mevareret the avon, and it's not her fault that she cannot be Mevareret. She didn't kill him. So what do we do? So we said, according to Beit Shammai, she is notelet ktuvata. According to Beit Hillel, either she's going to drink or she doesn't get a ksuva, which boils down to, as we saw before, since she cannot drink, because there's nobody to be mashker, he has to be mashker tishto, and he's dead. So therefore, she can't be notelet ktuvata. What's underlying this machloket? Ah, Beit Shammai savri shtar ha'omed ligvot kegavui domi. Beit Shammai holds that since he has actually given her a lien, the one that is most considered to be muhzak, who is in position of this money, she has a shtar providing her a lien. He's the one that has to fight off the shtar. In this case, he's dead. His heirs are going to have to prove that she does not have a right to the ketuvah. It's not her problem to prove that she does have a right to the ketuvah. And since she's considered to be relative to the heirs, she's considered to be the muhzeket, therefore she gets her ketuvah. Whereas Beit Hillel Savre, just because a shtar has nothing in the way of its gviyah, it's a shtar ha'omed ligvot, that does not give her the din of a muhzeket, and because of that, she is considered to be fighting in court with these heirs who have a right for Yerusha, and she is considered to be Hamotzi Mechavera, and therefore Aleha Ra'aya, that she is Ru'uya to the Ketubah. Mu'uberet Chavera. All right, so we had this big machlokas over here. If she is pregnant, or she is nursing, or she's an islandess, he did not have a right to marry her. So the Tanna Kamma said, okay, so in that case, you indeed can give her the kinoi, but you can't be mashka because she's not ru'uya to be tachtecha. Whereas Rebbe Lazar says, no, they are ru'uya. Because look, I mean, it's just a matter of waiting for the right time, right? Or in these cases where we were talking about the last cases, which is really, this is one of the examples where the Gemara quotes the wrong part. We're not talking about the part of the Mu'uberet Chavera. We're talking about the case of an Akara, or a woman who's post-menopausal, she's a Zekina, or she's an Islandess. The common denominator there is that she cannot have children, and therefore you're not supposed to be married to her, to which Rebbe Lazar says, what do you mean you're not supposed to be married to her? You're married to her. You just need another woman to reproduce with. So have one woman that is not sterile, and then there's no problem being married to this woman. How can you say that she's not ru'uya? So that machlokas, says the Gemara Reb Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avua, this is not a machlokas across the board, gentlemen. It appeared to be about all three cases, but it's not. The machlokas is only about the case of the akara and the zekina. Now, the akara went through an operation, or she was shot to kosher ikarin, that made her sterile. But she was not born sterile. She's a normal woman with full reproductive capacity. And that is where we have the machlokas. Or where she's postmenopausal, I mean, that's part of life. She's like any other wife. So why in the world, says Rebbe Lazar, there's no problem. Even if he marries her only now that she's postmenopausal, there he could always have another woman to reproduce with. That's true, but it's not true about the islandess. Actually, Rebbe Lazar never was discussing the din of hashkoyah of an islandess. Albeit it's true that, yes, of course you can marry an islandess as long as you have a woman to reproduce with, or if you had children. But the idea over here is that the islandess, even Rebbe Lazar has made it, that there's another problem, specifically vis-a-vis Hashkayat HaSotah, not because she's not a Ru'uya wife to you. Divrei HaKol lo shotah v'lo notelet ktuvata. Why? Because since as part of the whole Sotah process, it takes for granted that if it turned out that she had not been Mizanah, v'nikta v'nizra azara, that she would then be able to have children. Well, this could only be Misha Darkala Hazriya. Yat Tazo She'in Darkala Hazriya. So therefore, this is only Nogea the Islandist. It's defining a type. It's defining a set. It's not defining current conditions. So, I mean, even if she currently no longer is fertile because of an operation, or she's koshalikarin, or she's postmenopause, that doesn't change the set that she's a member with. As Rashi puts it, Mina. Mina means that set. She's part of the set of normal women and reproducing women. But the islandit was never part of such a set. And therefore, it excludes Yatzta Zo, who was born without any of this reproductive capacity, and therefore the Torah wasn't talking about her at all. Meisve, is this true? I mean, here it says, Hamekanela Rusato Ulushomeret Yovam Shalom, Im Achelo Kinasa Nistra, Lo Shota Velo Notelet Ketuvata. So let's say she goes ahead before he ends up taking her to the chuppah. And before he ends up doing yibum, there the halacha is she doesn't get a ksuva, but he cannot give her to drink, as we said before. Tachat isha, we're going aliba to Rabbi Yonatan over here, who says that both the shomeret yavam and the arusa is excluded. So forget, she does not drink. What about if he marries meuberet chavero or meneket chavero? Lo shotot v'lo notlot k'tuva. Over there, since min rabbana, we assert him because he may end up destroying her milk supply, or he may end up getting her pregnant again, which would damage the current fetus. So says Rabbi Meir, Shahaya Rabbi Meir Omer, lo yisa adam uberet chavero mineket chavero. And according to Rabbi Meir, that makes him min rabbana a invalid husband. If he did such a thing, he can never take her back. V'im nasa, he has to divorce her, v'lo yachzir olamayit, and because of that, since they were over on that takana d'rabbanan, so now she is asura to him forever. Therefore, the dinim of seita don't apply. Whereas the chachomim aimrim, he does have to divorce her now because the rabbanan said they're not allowed to be married. But after the time passes, the pregnancy passes, the nursing passes, so now it's 2 years later, he can go and marry her again. And therefore, according to them, once he has that possibility, so Mamela, there's nothing that excludes her from being Shota. Now, Haroveh, Shenasa Akara Uzekina. Now here we get closer to our issue. Suppose we have a young, healthy male, we call that a Roveh, Shenasa Akara Uzekina. He went in and he got married a woman who cannot have children. And this youngster does not have a wife, another wife. He does not have children. So he was not Mekayim, period of Arivia. So therefore, he is not allowed to have this woman as his sole wife. And therefore, lo shota, velo notelet tuvata. So since he's not allowed to be married to her, she's not allowed to drink from the mesota. Whereas Rabbi Elazar Omer, what's the problem? He can marry today, marry another woman today that he uses to reproduce with, and then he's able to maintain this marriage as well. Yocholu lisa acheret, vilifrot vilirbot imena. So there should be no problem, since ultimately he could do that, so you can't say she's innately not ruuya to be his wife. I'm afraid that I may be going too far here again. Which I try to avoid doing. Should I continue anyway? Because we haven't reached the kasha and we need to get a lot of, alright, fine. We'll just do the next piece. Avala mekanela rusato l'shomeret yavam shalo. Where were we? Sorry. Yeshlo, yeah. Okay. Now, everybody has made it that if he was mekanela the arusa shomeret yavam and then they got married and then they were mityabem, and then she was Nistara. Over there, she's like everybody else, like we said before. O Shota. O no notelet. O lo notelet tuva. Everybody agrees to that. How about Mu'uberet o mineket atzmo? How about if she's his wife that he had given her while she was still pregnant? She was warned. And now, if she drinks, it's going to cause her own death and the death of the fetus. So if it's a mu'beretum neket atzmo, she's a nursing mother. Same deal. O shota, o lo notelet ktuvata. She is ru'uya to be his wife. And even though what the Brisa is saying is that she would end up possibly bringing about the death of the child through the death of the mother, that doesn't change it. Because we know that's the halacha, the same thing is true about a Beis Din. They don't wait for a woman to give birth before carrying out a chiyuv misa. So either shota lo notelet ktuvata. Haroveh. Now, this everybody agrees. Haroveh shenasa karav zekenav yesh lo isha v'banim. She's like anybody else. O shota, o lo notelet ktuvata. Because since he was already mekayim, piri v'rivya, or he could be mekayim now, piri v'rivya, there's nothing inherently wrong with his marrying this woman. So she's like anybody else. An eshet mamzer vis-a-vis a mamzer, and an eshet netin to a netin. We're over here. We have, she was ru'uya in these cases. Eshet ger ve'eved b'shuchrar, in cases where she herself is already, she's kosher over here because she herself is a mamzer. She herself is a netina. Also, there's no problem of her drinking. The eshet ger ve'eved mishuchrar, ve'aylonit. Oh, shota lo notelet k'duvata. Wait a minute. Didn't you say a minute ago? Forget this part, by the way, we're going to ask. Like, what's the point of talking about an eshet ger and eved mishuchrar? But what's important to us is, why does it say an island is like anybody else? O shota, o lo notelet ketuva. You said that everybody, even Rabbi Elazar agrees, that an island is not included in the whole din. So katani miyat island is. And Rabbi Nachman said that, well, nobody argues on that, because it says, v'niktav v'nizra zera, to yuftet Rabbi Nachman. So we have clearly a braita that says, an islandit is like anybody else and is fully included in the dinim of Saita, even vis-a-vis Shtiyah.